Let's begin the Masechta Sanhedrin. I will not want to hold you back from learning the Masechta. You should feel free to learn the whole Masechta, stage by stage. We would like to do Perek Aleph, and if we continue beyond Perek Aleph, it would probably be into Perek Gimel. So if you want to learn the Kiyos, you could certainly begin with Perek Beis, and then move over to Perek Dalet, finish the Masechta, and then you'll fill in whatever we have left from Perek Aleph and Gimel. I think that it's important at the beginning of the year to begin to see somewhat of the forest before we see the trees, and so I thought of having a short Hakdama, and deal with a number of topics in the Hakdama that sort of stand out within the first Mishnah and within the Rishonim who deal with the first Mishnah as an overview. First, a very, very technical question is the place of Masechta Sanhedrin in Seder Nezikin. I sent you both to the Meiri and to the Balei HaTosfos, and they're starting off with opposite assumptions. Namely, the Meiri is assuming in his Perish, that where does Sanhedrin come in terms of the mission, in terms of the Masechtos of Nezikin? No?
It's the beginning.
Namely, that we have over here a question of the chicken and the egg, in which we have Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra that deal with Dinim. And then we have Sanhedrin which deals with Dayanim. And the question is, where do we want to begin with the Dayanim? Who are necessary to judge individual situations, or with the dinim with which they use to judge those situations. So the Meiri starts off that this is the beginning, that any monetary conflict is going to require dayanim. So Sanhedrin comes first, and then what are the Bezdin going to use as their criteria? Baba Metzia, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. Mashenkin, the Balei HaTosfos assume Pum Fakert that it comes.
Yeah.
Afterwards. First we bring down all the dinim, and then these dinim are adjudicated by the Beis Din. That's the approach over here of Tosus al-Atar. Within the Tosus HaRush, he offers another alternative as to why it follows Baba Metzia, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. What other alternative Tosus HaRush offer, aside from the fact that we have over here simply two essential parts of the world of mishpat. You need the halachos, and you need the individuals who are going to enact the halachos. What does Tosfos HaRush add in as an option that we do find within Mishnayos?
That
we're dealing over here simply with a literary continuity. That if we look at the last Mishnah in Baba Basra, gives us a arrow, and then we follow from the arrow to the target. Namely, that the last Mishnah of Basra ends off Amar Rav Yishmael Harotze Sheyachkin Yaasok B'dinei Mamanos. Okay, so we follow up with the Mishnah beginning Dinei Mamanos B'shlosha. Namely, that Rav Yehuda Hanasi wanted you to remember everything Baal Peh. So the moment that you remember the end of the last Mishnah in Baba Basra, that's going to tick your memory to the Dine Mamaros. That's the first teretz of the Tosfos HaRush. Decided in Rav Yehuda Nasi's head what order he was going to put them. Yes.
Is that what the Tosfos HaRush meant when he said that the last thing that we discussed in Baba Basra was Mamanos, and that being involved in Dine Mamanos makes one more intelligent.
Right.
So is that the same? Is what Rabbi saying the same? Is it the same answer?
Yeah.
The fact that the mamonos at the beginning of Sanhedrin also it's a zecher to the fact that being tarred.
It's just in other words, Mishnayos tend to follow one upon the other in terms of using your memory. And so over here the entree to the dine to remember the next Mishnah, the next Masechta, is dine mamonos, is the fact that Baba Basra ends with Yasuk dine mamonos. Then you move over to Dine Mamanos. Otherwise, in other words, that's why you have two answers. One answer is that we have over here a conceptual connection. The other is that we have over here a literary connection. What's fascinating is that when we look at the Tur and the Rambam, in terms of how they ordered their own svarim. So what do we see? The tour sort of took the lead of whom? Of the Meiri. It could be that the tour really had Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, and then Sanhedrin, but he took the lead of the Meiri, that if you're going to set up a code, you start off with Hilchos Dayanim, then Hilchos Eidus, right? That's Masechta Sanhedrin. And then you move over into Malva Velova, Vechule, Vechule, and Dafka, he ends with Nezikin. The end of Choshen Mishpat is Baba Kama. Mashen came the Rambam, he took his lead from the Balei HaTosfos. Again, it could be very well that the Rambam in his own Mishnayos was like the Meiri, had Sanhedrin first, but when he wrote his Mishnah Torah, so in terms of the Svarim that he has, first he has Seder Nezikin, so it's Baba Kama, then he moves over into all the Inyonim of Baba Metzia, and then he moves over at the very end into Toin V'Nitan and Nachlos to the world of Baba Basra. Then he brings Hilchos Sanhedrin at the end. So it's just fascinating that you don't necessarily have to have the same order in the Mishnayos as you're going to have when you're writing a Sefer. So it could very well be that both the Tur, who Pashtus, Tur was the son of the Rush, Pashtus, he had the tradition of the Balei HaTosfos. He had Baba Kama first and Sanhedrin at the end, but when he wrote his tour, he switched it. The Rambam, Yitachen Ma'od, that it's probably very possible that he had the order of the Meiri. The Meiri generally follows the Psukim of the Rambam. Yitachen over here also, this was the tradition that he had. But when he wrote his Mishneh Torah, he switched it to start off with Nezikin, with Baba Kama, and only ended up with Sanhedrin. Okay, what we do find in the tour is a very beautiful overview of the world of Mishpat, of the world of Din, in which the tour, as you saw, begins with the two Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos, Al Shalosh Advarim HaOlam Omed, and Al Shalosh Advarim HaOlam Kayam. We're all aware there's more than one girsa, but that's the girsa of the tour in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah. And what's the difference between Omed and Kayam? Where does Mishpat fit in terms of the Omed or in terms of the Kayam? In terms of the Kayam. The Omed means what? What if you were translating Mishnayos, Al Shalosh Advarim HaOlam Omed, how would you translate Omed? Established, correct. Meaning more in terms of the reason, if we can speak about the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He created the world, the purpose for Ovdei Hashem to be Osek in Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Namely, by being Osek in Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, that brings about Tikkun HaOlam, that's going to bring the world to its fruition. However, the world is a world of Bechira, otherwise there's no point in having any Sachar Va'onish. The world is a world of Bechira. Once you have a world of Bechira, you have Rishayim in the world as well. And therefore, we need not only Ha'olam Omei, we need not only where we should be heading, but what else do we need? Ha'olam Kayam, simply maintenance, to maintain the world so that it should continue to exist, so that we can then be attacking in it. And that maintenance requires Din, Emes, and Shalom in order to be able to maintain the world. Okay, so over here, the Din, the Mishpat, is important in terms of maintenance, to be able to have a certain balance in the world that those who are Ovdei Hashem would be able to continue their work of Tikkun. And that's Hadon Din Emes La'amito Na'aseh Shutaf La'Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Ma'aseh Reshit, in terms of maintaining that which was originally created. And then you saw that the tour has a very, very beautiful historical survey, that the world of Mishpat begins not with Adam HaRishon, but with whom? With Avraham. And then he skips over to Moshe. And then the mantle passed Moshe Kibel Torah Misim Masar LeYoshua, and Yoshua to Shmuel, Shmuel to the Malachim, to David, David to Shlomo, and then he goes through those unique Malachim of Yehuda who followed the world of Mishpat, Yehoshaphat, Yoshiyahu, and this brings us to the world of Minui Hadayanim, namely that even though we have these role models, but these role models had to have students. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Eitzah by Yisro, and this Eitzah was picked up, and the Torah turned it into a mitzvah of Minui Hadayanim. And here we hit our first basic Machlokes Rishonim within the world of Sanhedrin. What would you say, prima facie, if you had someone wake you up in the middle of the night and were to ask you, is the mitzvah of Minui Hadayanim a universal mitzvah? Anywhere where you have a Jewish community in the world, you should be Mamana Dayanim? Or is it limited to Eretz Yisrael? What would L'chora, would you say, would be obvious?
Anywhere.
I mean, it's universal mitzvah. Wherever, Shalosh Advarim Ha'olam Kayim, not Eretz Yisrael Kayim. Shalosh Advarim Ha'olam Kayim. In other words, you need it to maintain civilization. Wherever there's civilization, you need a court. Which of the Rishonim take that approach? Between the Rambam with a Mem and the Ramban with a Nun. Which of them take that approach?
Ramban.
The Ramban with the Nun. So if you have the page that I handed out to you, the Ramban, after quoting the Rambam in his Perush on Chumash, Baruch Hashem has a tremendous cover to the Rambam. First he quotes the Rambam, then he slams him, right? Aval, how can the Rambam say that Ein Yisrael b'chutz la'aretz mitzuvim l'manos dayonim b'ayaros? We're going to see the Rambam sheet in a minute. Aval, we have a black and white Gemara. The Ramban also started off with a black and white Svara, Mitzvah Shiuli Yisrael Plilim, that wherever there are Jews, you have to have a court system. You have to have someone to be able to deal with disputes. But the Ramban says it's a black and white Gemara in Makos, that the Gemara in Makos points out that we have a Pasuk dealing with the world of Ritzicha, of Sanhedrin. Those words are key words. There's a code in the Torah when it says b'chol moshvoseichem melamed Sanhedrin no heges ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. Aye, what do we do with the first pasuk of Parashas Shoftim? Titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha. In other words, in the aretz Hashem nasan lecha lishvatecha. What do we do with this pasuk? Ella, so how does the Ramban, what's the Ramban's girsa in the Gemara? That what's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz?
The quantity
of the dispersion of the Dayanim. In Chutz La'aretz, there's a mitzvah of mini Dayanim b'kol prach u'prach, in every province. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not only b'kol prach u'prach, but also b'kol ir v'ir. Namely, that we have a chiyuv of a minui both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. However, in Chutz La'aretz, lo b'chol ir b'ir k'Eretz Yisrael, ela prachim prachim. Okay, so the Ramban has a black and white Gemara, and as Avram pointed out, has a very, very powerful svara, that l'chora, this is universal, this is something al ha'olam kayim. And the Ramban begins, and the girsa of the Ramban in the Gemara Makos, that's what we have in the Hagos Hagra, right? That the two psukim that are quoted, right? That the pasuk of B'chol Moshvoseichem, that's in Sefer Bamidbar towards the end, and then and the second pasuk that we're dealing with is b'chol sha'arecha. B'chol sha'arecha. That's the pasuk. That's the first pasuk in Shoftim. Shoftim v'shoftim ten lecha b'chol sha'arecha. Asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha l'shvatecha. That's the girsa of the Rambam. That those are the two psukim that we're referring to. The Rambam begins Hilchos Sanhedrin in what appears to be the direction of the Ramban, but then he takes a quick about face, right? That in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph Mitzvos Asei Shel Torah Lemano Shoftim V'Shoftim B'Chol Medina U'Medina U'B'Chol Prach U'Prach, right? In other words, he quotes the broadest sense of the mitzvah. However, we move it off a base. Ein Anu Chayavim LaHamid Batei Dinim B'Chol Prach V'Chach V'Chol Bi'ir Ela Be'Eretz Yisrael Bilvad. We would hope that he would write that in Chutz La'aretz, you're chayav in Kol Plach Bechach, but he doesn't write that in our Rambam. Aval b'chutzaretz einam chayav b'lahamid beisdin b'kol plach b'chach. Shenemar titen l'cho b'chol sh'arecha asher Hashem l'kechem titen l'cho l'shvatecha. Our girsa in the Rambam is that the Rambam is not like the Gemara that we have in front of us in Makos that distinguishes quantitatively like the Ramban quotes, but rather that we ignore totally the pasuk that we have in Bamidbar, and the mitzuminim b'dayonim is only what we have in Shoftim. B'chol sh'arecha, asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha, l'shvatecha. L'shvatecha means Eretz Yisrael. So here, all the Mefarshim of the Rambam stood on this issue, and there are basically two approaches, one of the Kesef Mishnah and one of the Lecha Mishnah. What's the Kesef Mishnah's approach? Something has to give over here. We have a steer between a Rambam and a Gemara. So what gives? The Gemara. The Gemara gives. That Kanere, the Rambam had a different girsa in the Gemara, because the Rambam says that there is no chiyuv in Chutz Laaretz at all, even in Plach B'Plach. The Lecha Mishnah felt that that was untenable, and if we simply put one word into the Rambam, then everything would be wonderful. What one word we put into the Rambam? Ela. Right? Ela v'kol Plach U'Plach. Rather than b'Chutz Laaretz einan chayavim l'hamid beis din. Not simply b'chol pach u'pach, ela b'chol pach, then everything would be fine. So he says, kanere, that there's a problem in the Rambam, and everything is fine with the Gemara. The problem with the Lecha Mishnah's approach is that even though it brings about a degree of shalom between the Rambam and the Gemara, you don't have to come on to a new dirs in the Gemara, but if you look at the Franco Rambam, there's no such girsa. we have the Kisveyad, and we have all the Tfusim. We don't find any of them that has the word Ella. The Ramban, who was relatively close to the Rambam in time, understood the Rambam as is written by us. And not only does the Ramban hold that way, but we have another source text of the Rambam. What other source text do we have of the Rambam? The Sefer HaMitzvos. And the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam says, Behechreach, you have to say that there's no mitzvah of minui dayonim in Chutz Laaretz, and he brings in the concept of smicha. The smicha is dafka in Eretz Yisrael. We'll deal with that at a later point. What's the connection, if there is a connection, between minui hadayonim and smicha? But in any case, he says black and white that there's no mitzvah in Chutz Laaretz. And then we also have the Sefer Achinuch, which follows the Rambam like a shadow, and the Sefer Achinuch, you know, also says that the mitzvah of minui dayonim is only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laaretz. So in terms of the Gemara, we have the Kesef Mishnah, that kanereh, there was another girsa in the Gemara, that the Rambam understood from the Gemara that the pasuk of Shoftim v'Shotrim trumped the pasuk of B'chol Moshe V'Seichem. That B'chol Moshe V'Seichem would mean, once someone is already a dayon in Eretz Yisrael, he can then be done in Chutz Laaretz. It's a Mishnah. Sanhedrin no heges bein the Chutz Laaretz bein Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam would say the mitzvah of minui dayanim is in Eretz Yisrael. Once someone already was mamuna in Eretz Yisrael, he became in charge of the bezdin of Tel Aviv. He can then go out to Barcelona. He can then go out to New York. He can then go out to Mexico City. In other words, but the mitzvah of minui is dafka in Eretz Yisrael. The problem is the svara. Why in the world should this be a mitzvah hatzliya ba'aretz? The Chorah, it's very, very strange. You know, it appears that if someone wants to live in the Wild West, he'll just move to Chutz Laaretz, and there's no basic court system. It's all, you know, where it's simply, you know, all the minui is in Eretz Yisrael. It could be that we'll have a dayan that has to run away from Eretz Yisrael because of Hadrianic decrees or Mashu Kazeh. He'll end up in Bavel, and he'll be a dayan in Bavel. But as long as he's happy in Tel Aviv, he'll stay in Tel Aviv. What goes on in Chutz Laaretz? So certainly the Rambam never meant that. What lechora would the Rambam say goes on in Chutz Laaretz? Again, the mitzvah mina dayanim according to the Rambam, clearly, we see both in the Mishneh Torah and in the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Sefer HaChinuch, and the Ramban understood the Rambam this way, is only in Eretz Yisrael. What then goes on in Chutz Laaretz, according to the Rambam?
Anytime they have a disagreement, they get three.
Ah, that's what the Ramban points out, right? Look in the Ramban before, in order, Zubir Bekan, Sheyasimu Dayanim B'chol Arehem Ashi Yiten Lehem Hashem Etoretz. He's explaining the Rambam Shita. that we have a mitzvah of minu denim in Eretz Yisrael. Ki b'chutz la'aretz einam chayavim lemanos lehem bezdin. That's the Rambam Shita. Aval, kasher yitzak ha'me'uvat ya'amdu alav haru'uyim lishpot u'mishpetehem yishpetuhu. Namely, that what is the framework of batei dinim in chutz la'aretz as opposed to Eretz Yisrael?
Need basis.
Need basis, according to need. The moment that we have an issue, then we'll set up a Beis Din. Again, the Beis Din has to have dayanim of a certain level. We're going to see what that level is. But it's only going to be set up to deal with pressing issues. It's not going to be an institution of a Beis Din with a minui, but rather it'll be a situation where which is brought about by need. And therefore, the chutz la'aretz is not an ir miklat. It's not a situation where there are no dayanim. There's simply a lack of that world of minui dayanim, the lack of the institution of the court. It's simply set up in a case of need. So, if we try to understand, looking at the Rambam and the Ramban, the difference in Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz, The Ramban, working off of the sugya that we have in Makos, is very, very clear. It's a question of quantity of batei dinim, the same quality of minui, the same institution. The only question is it provincial or is it citywide? What level of spread of batei dinim do we have? But according to the Rambam, it appears that we have over here two worlds. The question is, can we understand these two worlds a little better? What is the world of Eretz Yisrael and the world of Chutz La'aretz? So to help us understand it, I sent us on a chase to another machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban in a lechora, what appears to be a totally different area, the world of B'nei Noach. That we know that there are Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and one of those mitzvos is dinim. The question is, what is involved in the mitzvah of dinim of B'nai Noach? What exactly are B'nai Noach obligated in? Let's start with the Ramban. What does the Ramban say? What are B'nai Noach obligated in terms of dinim? What should they do? What mitzvah is here on every B'nai Noach civilization?
We court for the Ramban or the Ramban?
The Ramban with the Nun.
So court for the other six mitzvot of the B'nai Noach. They need to set up for themselves batei dinim.
They have to set up what? Not so much, yes? Not so much batei dinim as...
Isn't it just including all the levels of dinim elements, like all the...
They have to set up a choshe mishpat. They have to set up a legislative code that deals with all areas of halacha. Now, that means to judge the other six, as you pointed out, but within dinim, to set up a code that will deal with nezikin, that will deal with karka, that will deal with chabala, with injury, that will deal with all issues. What, in other words, a legal monetary code, like the Romans set up a legal monetary code, or Hammurabi has a code. Right? You need a code. We need a code of legislation. That is what dinim involves. The Ramban was a bit bothered. Don't we have a death penalty in terms of the six other mitzvos? Where does the death penalty come in terms of dinim? So what does the Ramban distinguish? Anything that Ben Noach were to set up as a lotase, let's say the Ben Noach were to say that if you steal an object, it is forbidden to steal an object. So then on stealing an object, there would be a death penalty. If they say it's forbidden to break windows, so breaking windows, there would be a death penalty. But if they say that there is something that you should do, like you should set up a court, and you don't set up the court on a mitzvah asay, there is no death penalty. Only on the lavim there is a death penalty. Again, the Ramban understands that dina means to set, means to write a man, write a code of mamonos, and to judge the other six mitzvos. Within that code of mamonos, anything which would be a lo ta'aseh would have a death penalty. Anything which would be an aseh would not have a death penalty. What over here is the Ramban coming to underscore that the moving back to Sefer Bereishis? Yes?
Because the Rambam says that the Bnei Shechem were punished for not killing.
In other words, that the reason that Bnei Yaakov or Shimon and Levi decided to kill the city of Shechem has nothing to do with Din, has nothing to do with the fact that they didn't judge Shechem ben Hamor. They're not judging Shechem ben Hamor. Is not capital punishment. It's not a reason to kill them. You don't have to search very far for reasons to kill them. Why did Shimon and Levi kill them? They were Rishayim. They were over the Avodah Zarah. They, you know, were totally morally bankrupt. And then Yaakov Avinu disagreed with them, according to the Ramban, in terms of, but they did a bris milah. Why not give them a chance? And Shimon and Levi said, no, they only did that limtzochein b'nei Adonai, and that had nothing to do with religion. That was politically expedient. And that's the machlokes between Yaakov and his sons as to whether you kill someone for his corrupt background or you give him a chance if he says at least he does an action to become part of the Jewish people. Do we give them a chance to see whether they're turning a different shape? However, this has nothing to do with the world of dinim. Masha Enke, moving back to the Rambam understood what is the mitzvah of dinim. Here we have to be, that's what it would appear to be, to establish a court, and then because they didn't establish the court, so they're chayav misa. In other words, this is one of Sheva Mitzvos that they know of, just like the chayav misa if they eat every menachai, just like the chayav misa if they're oved avodah zarah, the chayav misa for not setting up a court. Okay, that is what the Rambam says. However, what we're going to see is that yitachein, that there's room over here for a diuk in the language of the Rambam. If you turn over the page that I gave you, again, what we set up to now is pretty much what we have in over here in source number 5, right? Source number 1 is the pasuk. Source number 2 are the Rambams. Source 2 and 3. Source number 4 is the Ramban and the Gemara and Makos. Source number 5 is the Ramban in Sefer Bereishis, where he brings in the Rambam and he disagrees with everything that we spoke about. If you turn over the page, I think most of you had on the other side of the page, I have a section there from the Avi Ezri. The Avi Ezri is a Sefer, you have it in the Beis Medrash, it's a set of Sfarim that were written by Rav Shach, the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich. So in the volume that deals with the last volume of the Rambam, that has it in Hilchos Malachim, in which we have Ketzad Metzuvim Al Hadinim, over there, Rav Shach is medayik very properly, I think, in the Rambam, in a manner that will help us understand our Rambam, the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Look together with me in the section beginning Venira de Lashitas HaRambam, in the left-hand column, Gam Kein, Ein HaMitzvah B'Bnei Noach L'manot Shoftim. Ukamoshi yesh mitzvah etzel Yisrael l'manot shoftim. Namely, that the mitzvah, even according to the Rambam, what Noach called setting up batei dinim, if we look back at the language of the Rambam, ketzad mitzuvim heim al hadinim, if you look just in the right-hand column, he quotes the Rambam. What does it mean to say that b'nei Noach ha-mitzvah al hadinim? Chayovim lehoshiv dayonim v'shoftim b'kol plach uplach radun b'sheish mitzvos eilu. Chayovim lehoshiv dayonim radun. Lehoshiv dayonim radun does not mean to be mamane shoftim. It doesn't mean to appoint shoftim. Ela shekan, going back to the Rav Shach, v'bnei Noach achiyuvu radun et hamechuyav. To take our our cue from the end of the Rambam. Why were Bnei Noach killed? Looking back into the Rambam in the right-hand column, in the fourth line, Nezen ischayevu kobal eishchem hariga, harei shchem gazal, gazal, a person, he abducted an individual, v'heim ra'u, v'yadu, v'lo danuhu. They didn't judge him. Namely, that their mitzvah is to judge, not to appoint dayanim, but to judge. They are chayav, in the Rambam's language, lehoshiv dayanim ladun. The kol echem in Noach sheruat chaveru shu over alachem yishesh mitzvos mitzvah ladun oto ulohargo. Umishum ze hachiyuv hu kol echad ve'echad mechuyav ladun tzrichim lehoshiv dayanim ve'etzahu utakonahu lekayim et hadin. Namely, in order to be fulfilled their mitzvah of dinim, they have to judge. In order to judge, you have to have judges. What does this sound like? What does this remind you of in terms of the mitzvos of Yisrael? We pointed out that according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Minui is in Eretz Yisrael. What about in Chutz La'aretz? The Rambam with a mem. It's a mitzvah ladun. In right, Alpi Hatzorach. This is what Rav Shach is pointing out over here, that the Rambam, in other words, is dividing between Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, on one hand, and Bnei Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, which is the standard of Bnei Noach. Namely, that we have a mitzvah of Minui in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, if you look, go down about 15 lines into the section, V'zeh hachiluk abi Yisrael bin Eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz. Mitzvahs mini deyanim hu rak be'eretz Yisrael v'lo b'chutz la'aretz. But what do we have in Chutz La'aretz? Vaday gam b'chutz la'aretz, mitzvah gladun. Chutz la'aretz is not the Wild West where anything goes, right? You have to be done at kol ha'mechuyav bein b'mamonot. Mehadin shonam mitzuvim l'hatzil ha'ashut me'oshko. We have a chiyuv that whenever there is a need to help an individual who was hurt, we have, by judging the individual who perpetrated the misjustice, the injustice, we have a chiyuv to save. This is the Seder of Nezikin, Yeshua's, to save the Oshuk Me'oshko. Okay, then when it's Shevim Yirut Sorech, Lamanos Dayanim, Beliza Yefshar, then they're going to have it. Namely, that we have over here a, not three categories, but two. We have the mitzvah of Minui, which is only in Eretz Yisrael, and then we have the mitzvah of judging according to need, which is Jews in Chutz La'aretz, and Bnei Noach, wherever they may be. Yes?
What's the function of a judge who is appointed in Eretz Yisrael but then judges outside? Like, he's no different than any other judge? I mean,
the act of judging is the same in Chutz La'aretz as in Eretz Yisrael. However, in Eretz Yisrael, there is an added dimension. It's not just a question of the judging, it's a question of the institution of the Beis Din. And this is what I mentioned to you. I think that that Reb Chaim Eisenstein, when I spoke to him about this going back, I don't know, 10 years, he understood over here something, I think, which is very essential to understand the Rambam. That Lechora, in terms of the world of Kiyum Ha'olam, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Kayam, Al Hadin, Al Ha'emes Vashalom, that is universal. The Rambam agrees that's universal. That's even for Bnei Noach, everywhere they are. That's for Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz, wherever Jews may be. There has to be an ability to judge any situation of injustice, to get the Rishayim to limit the Rishayim in terms of how much damage they can do, to have a sense of a check and a balance. To have a fear of justice that people will keep to the straight and narrow, and to create a world of emes and shalom. That is universal. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's an extra dimension, which is minui hadayanim. Namely, that in Eretz Yisrael, then Chutz La'aretz, or Bnei Noach, we're talking about a need. Were we to have a community in Chutz La'aretz where everyone would live b'shalom, were we even to be a community of non-Jews, anywhere in the world where everyone went to live b'shalom, so there would be no need for a Beis Din. But in Eretz Yisrael, we're saying that there's a chiyuv to set up an institution of a Beis Din. That there has to be, a community has to have a Beis Din. Namely, Eretz Yisrael is not a question of living according to need, but it's living according to a certain ideal. That there's a certain structure that a community has to have. Let's say, for example, there's a kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael where no one davens, unfortunately, up to now. Still, there's a chiyuv for that kibbutz to have a shul, and a chiyuv for that kibbutz to have a mikveh, and a chiyuv for that, you know, where it's a kibbutz, if it's a city, to have a Beis Din. Namely, that's the structure of a Jewish community. A Jewish community has to have a shul. Whether there are a minion of Jews who are davening in that shul or not, that's the nature, the structure of a Jewish community. Even if there are no women in this community who need the mikveh, there should be a mikveh. So if someone comes to that community, that's part and parcel. You don't have to then go ahead and build a mikveh or create some sort of a system where you transport her to the ocean, v'chulei v'chulei. This is simply the structure of the community. Malchusa de Ara ke Malchusa de Rekia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Beis Din. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need a Beis Din? He doesn't need a Beis Din, but he has a Beis Din. That's the beginning of Sefer Iyov. That's the whole concept of Nesan HaTokef, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Beis Din of Maiminim and Masmilim v'chulei, in order to teach us that this is the most meaningful structure. Eretz Yisrael has to have the Chatchila, that ideal structure. That's Minui HaDayanim. Whether these Dayanim are going to do anything or not. It could be the Dayanim will meet every Monday and Thursday. They'll sit there 10 minutes, and then they'll go home. There's nothing to do. There's no case to judge. But as opposed to Chutz Laaretz, where they wouldn't sit, you wouldn't have a Beis Din Monday and Thursday unless you had a problem. Here, this is the nature of a community. This is the social structure of a Tzelem Elokim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such a structure, so we have to have such a structure. This is built in to the structure of the Tzibur. That's why I pointed out to you, we're going to see next time, that Rav Sadia Gaon has mitzvos on the Tzibur. One of the mitzvos on the Tzibur is to build a Beis HaMikdash. Okay, one of the mitzvos of the Tzibur is to build a Beis Din, Minui HaDayan. But that's in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has to have that ideal structure. The universality that we find in Bnei Noach, that we find in Chutz Laaretz. Universality is Ladun et Ashuk. The Ramban, his understanding was no, that there is a universal chiyuv to create these Bate Dinim all over, just a question of density, just a question of quantity. But the Rambam has this clear distinction, and this is what, and the tzushtel, the connection between Bnei Noach, the universality of Bnei Noach, and Bnei Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz, that's what Rav Shach pointed out, and that's what Rav Eisenstein wanted to explain. Okay, so I think that's yes?
So the Gemara and Machlokes of the Rambam would also be distinguishing between those two types of requirements, the Minui Yamin versus the...
Yeah, in other words, that the institution of Beis Din, the Minui, having a Beis Din of 71 and of 23 and of 3 and dividing it among every city, that's in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laaretz, we're going to see that we're going to have neat, similar individuals in order to be done, but we'll bring them when we need them. Either we'll bring the Beis Din to Chutz Laaretz, or as Ramban points out, what's the other alternative? Bringing the culprit to Eretz Yisrael. Namely, we'll deal with it. We'll deal with it in the most efficient manner. It may depend as to... And maybe if in Hawaii it wouldn't pay to set up a Beis Din, or in Alaska, but we'll bring that individual if there is a question. Someone threw a snowball at an igloo, I don't know, broke a pane of ice. Anyway, so we'll bring that to Eretz Yisrael. It's cheaper than sending 3 dayanim to Alaska. But in other words, but the practicality exists wherever there is a civilization. There has to be a means of judging, but as opposed to, that's what I think what the Aviez is explaining, that the having a Beis Din operating in Chutz La'aretz is simply a takana that when there's a need, we're going to already have the Beis Din, but not that there is a concept of the institution. The institution is Dafka in Eretz Yisrael. That's the din of Minui. Okay, any questions up to this point?
Yeah,
Yes.
So it's interesting. I think Rabbi's saying that this is how it works. So there's a mitzvah of Minah in Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's one of the Shiva mitzvahs in Enoch that we learned out, is that Goyim have to govern themselves. So because Goyim have to govern themselves, of course we have to govern ourselves.
No, not because of Goyim have to govern themselves. Because you can't have a civilization without self-government, we and Goyim, all humanity, have to govern themselves.
But as a mitzvah?
No. In other words, there's a mitzvah of dinim, ladun, a mitzvah ladun that exists. But the mitzvah of lemanot dayanim, shoftim v'shem titen lecha, according to the Rambam, that's only in Eretz Israel.
No, but for the ladun aspect, the reason... The whole entire pathway that we learn out, the fact that Jews need to...
Correct. On that level, you're correct. 100%. Right. That Jews are part of humanity, and therefore they have a din of ladun. Mm-hmm. Right. The unique mitzvah of minu dayanim, mitzvah saseh, kuf ayin vav, or mitzvah tuf tzadi aleph in the Sefer Achinuch, that's only in Eretz Israel, according to the Rambam.
So
the Rambam disagrees.
Right. So we would be mekayim the same mitzvah if I was outside of Eretz Israel, I became a dayan for Goyim, because I'm also being damned in by saying, okay, listen, you're chai because you're violating the Shabbat.
Except the difference is that a Jew's mitzvah of Ladun is alpi the Torah, namely Nezek and Chatzin Nezek and Kefal and Dalad Vehei v'chule. If we're a Jew to judge according to the laws of the Goyim, that's an Avera. That's
no,
a problem.
No,
right? But if the Jew judges according to the Choshe Mishpat in Chutz La'aretz, he's mekayim the mitzvah of ladun. He's mekayim the mitzvah of ladun, and ladun is an important mitzvah. Shloshem ha'olam kayim. It's nasa shutaf laKadosh Baruch Hu b'maisa breshis. It's not a kleinakai, but there's no mitzvah of minui. There's no mitzvah of the institution of the court according to the Rambam Chutz La'aretz. Yes.
When we read this Rambam in Breshis, and he was explaining
yes.
how he feels about the dinin of the Sudas Minah.
Yes.
I just read a Rashi when I already read it, that it's not like he was just saying to take on all of Shulchan Aruch Chosh and Mishpat, the Goyim should take it on, because it was like, Ke'inyan Adinin should stop with Yisrael, namely that...
Ke'inyan means the areas of Halacha, the same areas of Halacha, means they also have to have laws against rape, and they have to have laws against seduction, and in other words, etc. They have to deal with all of the areas that were dealt with, but they can come up with their own, you know, as long as it's consistent, as long as they're consistent in all of those areas. Okay? This Seder. Okay. I think we covered everything on the first source page, except for the very, very end. The very, very end, we sort of go back to the Mishnah, correct? In terms of starting with Dine Mamanos Bishlosha. Where does the three come from? Normally, we very rarely find a machlokas between a Rishon and a Gemara. But over here, since we already have precedent for the Rambam ignoring our Girsa of the Gemara in Makos, so kind of read that the Rambam had something else going for him here on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Because what do we find in Daf Gimel Amud Beis? What's the source of three? Psukim that we have Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. I'm using it with the hey because it's chol, referring to the Dayanim. The Dayanim in the Torah are called Elohim. The Sfarno points out at the beginning, Bereishis bara Elohim, that the Dayanim are called Elohim because of their using their Tzelem Elohim to judge, namely that this is the highest level of a Tzelem Elohim. I think it was Rabbi Dr. Hortzaks, Dr. You got it right? Rabbi, mm-hmm. Rabbi, right? Yeah, got all the titles in. Okay, he has a Baruch Hashem, a beautiful way with words. So he pointed out that as opposed to the definition of God in the ancient world, mainly Avodah Zarah, that God represents power in Yahadut, in Torah, God represents law. All the Torah, that's Dvar Hashem. Law is God. So an individual who serves as representing a Kadosh Baruch Hu in terms of law, being a Dayan, that's the highest, he's mamish called. If we call Moshe, Isha Elohim, so a Dayan is called Elohim. In other words, that's the highest level that a person can reach, that he is a Baki b'chol haTorah kula, that he can explain how the Torah applies to every individual situation. That's a concept of the world of Elohim. I think that's what the very beginning of the Torah, as far as no points out. Thank you. Sorry. V'alzad hidamut yikarei kol hanivdal mechomer Elohim. In other words, anyone who can rise above his material being is Elohim. V'yikaru hashoftim hamumchim Elohim kasher yishpetu b'tzelem Elohim. That is the uniqueness of the shofet. So the Gemara deals with the number of times that the phrase Elohim is mentioned in the parasha, and what appears to be the machlokas Rav Yoshi and Rav Yonatan, whether Dorshim Tchilos, where we take into account the first one, or we don't, and then we have to come on to Ein Beis Din Shakul. While the Rambam in the parish of Mishnayos says that simply, what is the limud? That the word Elohim is plural, right? And generally, plural means that Ein Rabim, Miut Rabim Ishnayim, but here we have a unique Miut, that a Beis Din has to be able to come to a conclusion. And so therefore, here the Miut Rabim is Shalosh. Simply built into the word Elohim, you have three. You have to have the ability of having a court with unanimous decision, and having a court with a split decision that will come to a conclusion. Yes?
There's a number of places in Shas where the word that has a hey in the beginning and a plural, and it's darshaned as three. The plural plus a hey is
hey,
plus
right.
Another three. So why isn't it darshaned here that way?
Because it's not every place with the hey. Asher Yarshiun Elohim. Not, but, in other words,
why didn't the darshan Hai Elohim as three?
Why don't we find such a shita?
Right. What's?
I don't know. In other words, we have the three R. Two of them have a hey, and one of them doesn't have a hey. Asher Yarshiun Elohim doesn't have a hey. So kind of read the hey is not part of the word itself. You know, it's received in the fact that it's mentioned. It's a good question. I don't know. But really, what has to come down to it is more of a, I don't know whether, more of a linguistic question, is the word Elohim really plural? Bereshis bara Elohim. Not Bereshis baru Elohim. Right? In other words, Bereshis bara Elohim. No, it's the whole nature of the name Elohim is a oxymoron. We're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is unified, who is one, right? That's the whole nature of Yichud Hashem. It's one of the Karim of the Rambam, that there's Yichud Hashem. And yet we find a word describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a word of Rabim. Right? So this bothered everyone. I mean, in the first pasuk of Chumash, you already have an Ibn Ezra, and you have a Ramban, and you have a Sfarno that deal with this tension within the world word itself. So the Ibn Ezra is the most, pashut. He says that the reason that the word Elohim is plural is the royal we. Right? That when you speak to a king, you speak in plural. When the king speaks to the nation, he speaks in plural. That's the royalty. So God speaks, it's in plural, By calling him Elohim with a plural. That's, in other words, he is a unity, but because of his majesty, because of his kingship, we give it the concept of a plural. That of course the Rambam would not work out within the Rambam. It would have nothing to do with the derivative in terms of a shofet. I think the Ramban over there understands that the concept of Kel or Eloka is the world of Koach, right? The of power. In other words, the origin of power is Michamocha Be'ilim Hashem, the powerful. And therefore, Elokim is the Koach She Mafio Koach Kochot Kulam, something in that respect. In other words, that he is the Almighty, the All Powerful. That's included in Elohim. He's in charge of of all of power. Ramban in this edition. Yomar Elokim, Baal Hakochot Kulam, Ki Amila Ikara Kel, Shehu Alef Lamed, Shehu Koach, Vehi Mila Murkevet Elokim, Kilu Lo Yirmoz Al Shar Kochot Kulam. There's nothing but God. All of the Kochot are included in God. This is where those will be learned Nefesh Chaim. The Nefesh Chaim begins that if we are a Tzelem Elokim, it means that we have to participate in this aspect of Elokut, of Koach. And that we have that ability also of creation of Yesh Me'ayim, which is the highest level, ex nihilo, which is the highest level of power. We don't see it, but our souls, when we do mitzvos, create worlds. Yesh Me'ayim. That's in that way we are Tzel Melokim. Yes?
Just regarding what the Ibn Ezra said about the royal we, it yeah. Also says the Baal Bais, which is the royal we, talking to just a single person. So,
yes?
I wouldn't be switching from Baal Bais, just talking about a single person, to Elohim, just talking about the royal we. This doesn't seem to be...
No, he points out that any time that one speaks to an individual who one wants to be machabed, one speaks in the plural. You're American, but were you to be European, you would speak to any older person in the plural. That's the nature, and in Russia it's also that way. You speak, in other words, that's simply the syntax of kavod, and that's what the Ibn Ezra points out. The Sfarno Alatar over there, just to be aware, also was bothered by this issue of the name, and he points out Yomar Alav Elokim Lashon Rabim Lahorot Shehu Tzurat Kol Hatzurot Hanitzchiyot Vezulatam. In other words, as opposed to the Ramban who deals with all power, he deals with all existence. All that exists is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, in any case, so this tension within the word itself, the Ramban, by assuming that the word Elohim has a plural aspect to it, in other words, is relating to this tension. The Gemara didn't necessarily... The tension has two sides to it. The Gemara is taking one side of the equation and the Rambam is offering the other side. Okay. Did you move over into the second sheet somewhat? Somewhat. So let's just give a somewhat introduction to the second sheet. You did read the Mishnah, right? So reading the Mishnah, you came across basically a Reisha and a Seifa. Where, if you had to put a dot in the middle of the Mishnah, where would you put the dot? Mishnah begins, Dinei Mamonos Bishlosha. And then it moves over to Esrim Bishlosha. And then it goes back to Chamisha. And then it moves over to Asara. And then it moves over to Shivim and Shivim Ve'echa. And then, where does it move from there? More than that, in terms of terminology, these shlosha, chamisha, what are they? What do they create in the reisha? What do they create? What institution do they create? The first time the institution is mentioned is Rodonas Hashavet Yasem Navi Sheker V'Rodonas HaKohen Gadol Ela Alpi Bezdin, right? That the institution which is dealt with in the Reisha of the Mishnah, we have a Bezdin of Shlosha, we have a Bezdin of Chamisha, we have a Bezdin of Esrim v'Shlosha, we have a Bezdin of Asara, but certain things only dealt with in a Beis Din of Shivim Ve'echad, as opposed to the Seifa. What terminology is brought there? When we continue after that, Sanhedrin Gadol or Sanhedrin Ketana. Namely, the question is there any real difference in terminology whether I'm speaking about a Beis Din or I'm speaking about a Sanhedrin? The Mishnah, when it deals with the 23 and 71, in the Reisha, talks about it as a Beis Din. Then in the Seifa, moves over to talk about these, this new term of Sanhedrin Ketana and Sanhedrin Gadola. That's what basically the second sheet deals with, simply viewing the Mishnah from an overview. So what we're going to see is that there are those aspects of halacha in which we have a common denominator between a Beis Din and a Sanhedrin. It's irrelevant if we're dealing with a Beis Din or a Sanhedrin. We're going to have certain basic criteria. And then, on the other hand, we're going to see at least three areas where it could be that there's a difference whether we're dealing with a Sanhedrin or with a Beis Din. Again, Beis Din is a generic term that applies to any court, be it from 3 to 71. Everything in between. We're going to call that a Beis Din. The 23 and the 71 only are called Sanhedrin. We don't call 3 or 5 or 10 a Sanhedrin. Only 23 and 71. The question is, are there any unique dinim that apply to Sanhedrin as opposed to applying to Beis Din? That's what we're going to talk about. So we'll see there's certain areas where there are common denominators, certain areas where there are distinctions. Okay, so basically within the page that I gave you, I tried as much as possible to break it down, that within the criteria, number one, there's going to be a common denominator and there are going to be distinctions. Okay, within the question as to whether there is a chalos shem begavra. Chalos shem begavra means as follows, that we know that within the halachic system, there are many, many actions that we take, many mitzvahs that we do, that those actions or those mitzvahs have importance per se. Sometimes what those actions or mitzvahs do is create a halachic status. Like if you're mekadesh, a woman, it's not only a mitzvah saseh of kedushin, you create an eishes ish. That woman has a different status. She is now usher on the entire world. She, after Nisuin, will be mutter to you. If a Jew is tovel in a mikvah, it's not just a mitzvah of tvila under certain circumstances. He creates a status of tahara. A goy can turn into a Jew via tvila. Mila can turn a goy into a Jew. Mila can turn a Jew from an Ariel into a Baal Bris. An Ariel is not allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. A Baal Bris can eat a korban. Namely, that there are various halachic stadi that are created by doing certain actions. The question is there such a thing as a chalal shem dayam? Is there such a thing as that, in other words, we know, let's say, a king has a unique chalal shem, a different level of kedusha. A kohen has a different level of kedusha. We can speak about even a keter Torah as somewhat of a chalos shem. Tefillin, a person wearing tefillin, is a karkafta. The manach tefillin is a different person in terms of his judgment. Kapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu to someone who doesn't wear tefillin. All of these create a chalos shem. When you shecht an animal, it turns from Avram and Achai into Basar Kasher. When you makrish Trumos and Maestros, it moves from Tevel into being chulin or Matukan. There are a lot of, you know, the question is there such a thing as a chalal shem on a dayan? And if yes, what sort of a dayan? And what are the halachic ramifications of that chalal shem? That's the second area. That's where Reb Chaim, as you would expect, comes into the picture. This is his terminology. You have a cheftza of a Beis Din. Is there also a chalal shem on a dayan? Does the dayan have a special status? The third area is an area that we've touched on today in terms of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz, or questions of density, in terms of Minui. Is there, the mitzvah of Minui, is it a din in Beis Din? Is it a din in Sanhedrin? A din in both? So we're going to see a Machlokas Rishonim. And finally, in terms of the tafkidim, in terms of the tafkid of a bezin of three, it's pretty clear from the Mishnah, dini mamonos bishlosha. But we move over to the Sanhedrin, we have a whole bunch of tasks that go far beyond questions of judging. So to try and categorize those areas in which the Sanhedrin Gedola has jurisdiction. Basically, that's what we're going to talk about in our words next time. Okay. Then after that, just coming attractions, we will move. We will start with the Reisha of the Reisha. Simply the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. First 7 words of the Mishnah. Okay, Dine Mamanos Bishlosha, Gzelos Vachabolos Bishlosha. Well, that will start, in other words, our learning. Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi is very, very Miduyak. And the Sugya, the first Sugya, starts from the end of the Mishnah, which is the 4 lines down on Daf Beis Amud Beis, and goes until the 2 dots on Gimel Amud Aleph, about 8 lines from the bottom, Isrei Deshmur. We're going to see a very, very, very basic machlokes amoraim in terms of the in terms of the world of yachid mumcha. What's the relationship of? Is there a concept within the world of mamonos of a yachid mumcha? Those who learn nedarim, those who are learning daf yomi, know that in the world of nedarim you have a bezdin and you can have also a yachid mumcha. Do we also have such a concept within the world of batei dinim of mamonos? Of having one person judge, is there a concept of two people judging, bezin shoshnayim, bezin chatzuf, and 3. Okay, so that we'll talk about bli nether down the road. Okay, what I owe you, bli nether, I'll give you tomorrow morning is a printout of the Reb Chaim al Hashas. I understand that it's hard to find. I pointed out that it's really the Reb Chaim al Hashas is all Reb Chaim mipi Hashmua. It was written by different Talmidim, and sometimes they got things wrong. Sometimes things are not really Reb Chaim, but part of the family. So the particular cat that we're going to see was determined by the Soloveitchik family to belong to Reb Chaim's son, Reb Moshe, the father of Reb Yeshua Ber. So it's quoted, it's printed also in the Chidushim of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik in his name, not in the name of Reb Chaim. Sometimes things happen, things get... I mean, maybe he heard it from his father, but the language is his language. He was the one who wrote it down. And the other, in terms of Sefer Mitzvahs, of Rav Sadia Gaon, Mayor, you still have my pages? What?
Yeah, Danny has
it. Okay, so I'll print out to you just that section that I want. You don't have, if you want to, you're welcome to look at the whole, to see the tremendous bekiyas of Rav Yeruchim Perla, but you don't necessarily have to. Beseder? Okay, any questions? Okay, you should have bracha v'hatzlacha. So we'll meet again on Wednesday morning. That Wednesday morning, the shiur is at 9:05, right? Right at the beginning of the morning. So basically, you have Monday and Tuesday to prepare for Wednesday's shiur.